We're going to go ahead and start with our meeting. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting or the county court meeting room and is available for all citizens in attendance to review. It's over on that easel right there by Randy. So if you have any questions about the Open Meeting Act, it's right there. We went ahead and moved this up to this venue because the commissioner room is much smaller. And this gave us the ability. I want to thank the people of the county court for coming because it has to be recorded. So we had to have a way to do that. So they provided this room for us. And thank you very much. Take attendance.
Marty.
Yep.
Rogelio.
Present.
Brian.
Present.
Rick.
Present.
Jeff.
Here.
So now would be the time for public comment. So if anybody wants to comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come up. Anything else we'll talk about when we get to it. But if there's anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward and speak on it. Not seeing any, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from September 2nd, 2025. Approval of payroll claims from August 31st to September 13th. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of monthly account payable claims. And approval of the official reports from the Register of Deeds, the County Clerk, and District Court. I came in earlier this morning and went through all the accounts payable. I went through payroll at 4 o'clock when I came back in. And also went through the Register of Deeds, the county clerks, and the district court's quarterly reports. Everything appeared to be in order.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through E.
Second.
Rogelio.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep. New business. It's 7:02. We're going to have a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, and make neutral comments regarding the request, the approval of a conditional use permit from Sternwell Solar Project LLC at the property located at section 1011, 1416, 21 through 23. 25, 26, 28, Township 8N, Range 8E, on approximately 2,900 acres for a solar overlay district. So what we're talking about now is the solar overlay district.
Right. So we don't want to get this confused with the actual permit itself, but the overlay district is going to protect all the landowners around this district so that whatever the ground, if it's sold or leased or anything, it does not have any adverse effect on any of the adjacent ground next to it. So that's strictly just to protect the ground around the overlay district.
So at the beginning of both of these, we'll give Sternwell an opportunity to speak, and then anybody else that wants to speak, we'll give you 3 minutes to come in and talk to us. So at this point, I would ask if anybody wants to speak in support of the solar overlay district.
All right, it's good to go, whatever.
Yep.
Awesome. I'll only present once for the overlay and the conditional use permit because I feel like a lot of the information is one review from a lot of the other discussions we've had periodically over the county. Our history here, and then also, you know, it all kind of goes together as well. But thank you, everybody, for attending this evening. Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to present our Sternwell Solar Project. We are Mission Clean Energy. We're a utility scale solar and energy storage developer. We work nationally, coast to coast, north to south, across the entirety of the United States, doing both solar and battery storage projects, as well as standalone battery storage projects. Under the Mission name, we do not have any operating assets, but our leadership team, as well as myself and other professionals, bring extensive experience on early stage, middle stage, late stage, and operational development of these renewable projects. The reason that we're here today, specifically in this community, pitching this solar project is because we see a reason to be here. The first and main one that I'm sure is not a surprise to anyone here is that energy demand across the entire country is growing rapidly. That also is true if we look just to Nebraska. We've also heard from specific leadership in this area that a lack of power has limited growth opportunities for this area. We are also seeing that there's an existing electrical infrastructure here that allows us to bring the project to life. We can tie it to an existing substation, which makes bringing that power onto the grid cheap for ratepayers as well as easy for developers. It makes that power available to be used either by local developments to gain that tax revenue here, as well as being able to provide those expansion and growth opportunities. The last thing that we look for is willing land partners. This is all private land with private investors, private landowners, and private projects. I have a picture of the site plan here. We don't have the audiovisual equipment, just kind of largely going over. I'm sure everybody has seen it, but it is a sizable project. It's about 360 megawatts. The solar overlay district that Jeff mentioned previously, Commissioner Reed, mentioned was 2,900 acres is the total of the solar overlay. We had a long history here in the county doing an open house, two public hearings now with Planning and Zoning Commission, extensive hearings prior to that, working with the county on developing reasonable solar ordinances, really trying our best to answer as many questions as we possibly can to try to get people a better understanding of why we're here, what's coming, and what the benefits are to the community. Something else that we really want to highlight from all of those interactions is that we have used our knowledge and what we've learned from talking to the community to refine our project. That's pointed to two locations where there were landowners that had panels on three sides of them. There are now no locations across anywhere around the project where somebody is bordered by three sides. Every location around the project has at least a 250-foot setback, as is mandated by the ordinance, and that's also in furtherance of that in every single location. So that's the minimum, but one more than that. We also, and I mentioned this briefly, have a host of tax benefits that we're bringing to the community. So on the low side, we're estimating about $66 million with the possibility of that increases based on state guidance on the assessment. The majority of that going to home or community schools. We've heard in the last public Planning and Zoning Commission hearing the support of Homer Public Schools Superintendent Joey Leftel and his view that this would be a huge benefit to the county, not only to the school district, but also to county taxpayers. The school takes up a large portion of that tax revenue that's funded directly from pockets of most of the people here. We take on the burden of a lot of that. We see that being a big benefit. The very last thing that I'll hit on while I'm up here is that we have also self-imposed a variety of conditions of approval that you guys can see in front of you in those findings of fact document. Notably, a lot of those are just kind of standard. We will comply with the site plan and the narrative that was submitted. Gives a little bit of a codified basis to what you guys would be approving today. In addition, that also forms the basis for the vegetative management plan, the road use maintenance agreement, the decommissioning plan, doing the stormwater pollution prevention plan that's also required by the state, and doing any necessary pre-construction surveys and studies. I have the visual simulations. Everybody, I'm pretty sure, has seen them, so I'll skip over those ones. But kind of in closing here, we appreciate the opportunity to bring this project. We're very excited about the possibilities for Dakota County, northeastern Nebraska, the state as an entire whole. We see this bringing a host of benefits to the community that we really hope would be considered in your review of the applications before you today. Thank you so much. Ethan Frazier, Senior Permitting Manager for Mission Clean Energy. Thank you.
Does anybody want to speak in opposition of the solar overlay district?
I want to ask a question. Where do I go?
You just step right up there so they can get you on that microphone over there. Right over there.
Where do I go to look on your work to see one of your projects that is operational?
Yeah, so again, under the mission name, we don't have operating assets. Audrey's work at QCells, and you can probably speak more to this before, has a host of different direct projects. Myself personally, I worked at Black & Veatch before this, which is kind of a large global engineering firm.
So in other words,
under the mission name, that's correct. Our leadership team brings a lot of experience, as well as our, you know, myself personally, not even in a leadership role, has worked on operational projects as well as pre-operational, post-operational, you know, decommissioning projects, not really to that point for a lot of things, but kind of on the sale or transfer of these. So we have a lot of experience that we're bringing just with the recency of the company and the time it takes to develop these. We don't have anything operating under our name. We can't provide further examples. I think Audrey here can bring up.
Yeah, so the solar development lifecycle is about a five-year process from beginning the project to getting through the interconnection process. That's one of the longest parts of the process. Mission was formed in September of 2022. So as of yet, our projects have not reached the operational stage. I've been in this industry for over 10 years. I have a number of projects that I've worked on over the years at other companies that are operational. Our leadership team has over 5 gigawatts of projects that we've seen come to fruition. A lot of the work is really in the development process in getting that project set up for success. We've tried to do that here with working closely on the solar ordinance and helping the county with that to the extent that we can, to the extent appropriate. And that really has been part of this process to try and put in place a really great project.
For the valuation of this project, that's quite a resume. Nearby the project. I was at one of the meetings last fall, and they were there. And I guess I didn't ask that golden question of where the project was going to be at. I don't think any of us ever thought for one iota the second that they were going to use prime farmland. I thought they were going to use those old rolling hills where, you know, all the grasses are. So that's kind of why I think we're all kind of a little bit bent out of shape here. I got thinking a while back that, you know, we got open fields there now, years and years. I've been there for 20 some years. And High Avenue, 200. G, I've been on G once. I've been on H one. Haven't been on G yet in the middle of the winter. And with open fields, we still got snow piling up on those roads, especially on I Avenue there where they got that, not the weeds, but the, supposedly it's a, some kind of an NRD thing or something. And it just piles up there. So then when we got to start putting some trees there, I don't think many of us are going to get out. Is there a plan? Do we have something in the plan? I mean, that book's what is it? Do we have a plan that somebody's going to be out there in the morning and at night maintaining those, all those four or five roads so we can get in and out? Because there's a lot of people that take those roads so in and out of town or into town. So, I mean, that's just one of those things that I was thinking about. And then, and I will have to, if I'm out of line, let me know, but if, I will have to take a little bit of a concern about the Homer District. Thinking that they're going to get all that money. Their district isn't where the majority of the panels are. That's Emerson Hubbard district. Why? I should know.
Their district, Homer, it's all in Homer District School District.
Yeah, well, it wasn't when I tried to get my kids enrolled in the Homer going to 5 miles of school instead of me having to go at 18 miles because they didn't like, because I was all, why was on, my fence line was on the other side of Homer District. So, let me say that after 25 years, it's still very raw in our minds about Homer and thinking that they, you know, we're such a good school. We're kind of, sorry about that. The pamphlets that you guys got, did everybody else get one of those? Is that something with the district or do we not?
Which pamphlet are you talking about? I have several.
Well, they handed out. So right away, it was a slight comment because I don't think we got what you guys got. So I mean, we're trying to be upright here, you know. I think we're in for a rough ride because I think these guys again, like you were saying, we haven't even got a project going yet. We're kind of, we might be asking for more than two long more we can use now.
Anybody else with regard to the overlay? Because we're going to be talking about the project itself here shortly.
I don't understand why this committee is talking about taking good, valuable farm ground out of production for something like this that is not really that sustainable. Over time, it's going to deteriorate, and then what's going to happen to fallow ground? Who's going to take care of pulling all that stuff out? And as far as the Homer School District getting a lot of money, if they do a bunch of building down there, which is very possible, then you're going to have to raise taxes again to cover everything that they've got built to try and keep everything up, keep it running properly. From across the web, dangers of being around solar field, you have electromagnetic radiation, chemical exposure, fire, habitat degeneration, ecological impact, electrical, light pollution, toxicity, visual impact, water drainage, wildlife, plants, noise, glare, reflection, cons of solar energy, and electrocution. And as far as putting up a big fence and stuff, that road drifts bad enough the way it is. I live on 1846 G Avenue, and that wind blows for miles. We won't be able to get out of there for a couple days. Are you guys going to come up with the money to pay us, pay the ones that don't get to work for a few days? Because that's going to cause a lot of trouble. And it takes a couple days sometimes to get out of there right now. This is an absolute waste of the community. As far as electricity that's going to be used, it goes on the grid. And whoever needs it, it's sold to. That stuff could end up back in Chicago someplace, not necessarily South Sioux or Dakota City. It's whoever needs it at the time. In my opinion, this is a big-ass joke.
Would somebody from you guys want to? The question that I've had from numerous people, is it decommissioning of this at the end of its time? Could somebody speak on the decommissioning?
Marty, do we want to wait on that until we actually start talking about the use permit?
I agree.
I've taken note in the road use agreement, which addresses the
concern. Okay. All right. Anybody want to speak neutral comments with regard to the overlay district?
Can I speak on opposition?
On what? Opposition. Yeah. Come up, state your name, and then go over to this microphone over here is on this table. You guys just flip that around. Yeah. No, Lou, over here. You grab a chair, whatever you need to do, or stand there, whatever you need to do. Nice job, Brian.
Okay, I'm going to get this close because I want everybody to hear me. Okay, so Lou Franco, South Sioux City, Nebraska. I've been a resident here all my life. You know, the people who want to start a business, it's wonderful. But, you know, anybody can stand up and say all the good things about what the company's going to do. But they never tell you about the downfalls. And there's a lot of downfalls in a lot of businesses. More than what we even want to realize or what we are told. Even if the company's been in business for 15, 20 years, there's still downfalls of it. And there can be environmental impacts and value depreciations or value drops and higher taxes. And I'm the one that passed these forms out, and it says Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom issue paper. Solar farms do not belong in Nebraska. Now, see, I don't know anything about a solar panel business. All I do know is about farmland because I've been in that business all my life, and it's valuable. Our environment is valuable. Our water is valuable. Our air is valuable. Every natural resource that we need to live is valuable in the livestock. And the animals. And here on this documentation that I have, it talks about the background, and I think I give most of you a copy, and it has the general reasons property devalued. Now, I don't know who wrote this either, okay? But this is all I have to go by. I have this to go by and what the solar people are saying. That's it. So, but these make sense, and I don't think these people are blowing smoke up anybody. Otherwise, somebody would be calling them out on it. And it has property devalued. It has environmental fears, poisoned land. Suspicious taxes. The battle continues. There's a whole bunch of things here that this talks about. You know, and here's to me the biggest issue ever. These people here have worked probably all their lives for the land that they have. They've paid their taxes. And if they don't pay their taxes, somebody comes and gets it from them. So their top dollar, their hardest earned money is going for taxes. And I'm sorry to say this, but not enough people show up to these meetings to know how their money is being spent. And that's your responsibility, not theirs. Their responsibility is to spend it no matter how they spend it. But your responsibility to find out how they're spending it and why they're spending it. So, but here these people work all their lives. And I know a lot of these people aren't going to get up here and say the word, I oppose it, even if that's all they say. That's all you have to say is, I oppose it. You don't have to give a big spiel on it. That's not expected. But I think you should all get in a line and line up and get up here and oppose it if that's what you really, really want. If you don't, then you want a solar panel in your backyard.
All right, wrap her up.
And these people vote you people in. So you're working for them, not Lance Hedquist. And I know Lance wants this energy solar thing, which is fine. But these people are more important. Thanks.
I wanted to ask one thing.
All right. Speak. State your name.
I'm Pat Rayner.
All right.
Would any of you guys, you commissioners, in our position, want truthfully, I don't believe you, our position, exactly.
So I will ask you, the person who owns the land is leasing the land to them. So right now you're telling me that you want us to vote against letting a person who owns the land do something with that land. So this hearing is to allow us to protect those individuals around that land for what this project is intending to do, right? There's been a lot of change in the last few years, right? I remember being a child driving down Highway 77 seeing farmland that is now a Walmart. It's been happening for years, right? This is a project that will be that.
Walmart is different than these lights.
We were talking about business earlier, right? Walmart is a business. Walmart has a decent reputation, but for my opinion, I don't shop at Walmart because of the unethical practices, right? So just things to think about.
I truly believe if it was any one of you guys in the same position, you'd be voting.
Okay, I live on a piece of ground between South Sioux and Dakota City here, mm-hmm. And South Sioux was issued Inland Marine. It's a category where they can get funding for a particular piece of ground. And I have lived on the same piece of property 62 years of my 62 years. And that is right across the street from me. And there's 320 acres. And I know that within the next 6 or 8 years, that's all going to be developed into industry. Do I wish that that wasn't the case? I do wish that wasn't the case. But I also understand it's their property to do with what they want. So I'd like stuff to stay the same forever, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way for me. So I do feel like I know exactly, because I'm going to be hearing trucks around the clock. I'm going to be having rail spurs come in. So I'm going to be sitting behind trains. So I think I know exactly what you're feeling.
Well, I feel that's different than these lights.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else before we get to the rest of the project? Anybody to speak? Okay. Just go up there and state your name.
Dennis McManical. I live at 2054 F Avenue, and I got a 250-acre piece of property right across the road from me that they want to put solar panels on. And I got to look out that my front window, and I got half a mile one way, half a mile the other way. It's going to be all glass. I don't think that is right, because I bought their place back in 1975. I've been there 50 years. I was born and raised in this county, and it's just not right. If I wanted to live in an industrial park, I would have built bought an industrial park. But this is, they say farm, solar farm, it's still going to be industry, because it's manufacturing electricity to be sold. It's got nothing to do with a farm whatsoever other than being on farm ground, which is really a waste of good farm ground, actually.
If there is a berm around it, I mean, do you feel that they're not going to put the berm in, or what makes you think you'll be looking at glass every day?
Well, I got told there's going to be a 250-foot setback at the planning meeting. Then I get a message after 2 days later, I think it was, or a day later, that it's going to be 90-foot setback. They misstated their property or their numbers. So I don't know which is right. I mean, in front of my place, it says that we're going to be 370 feet from my house. And then I don't know where it's going to box out, how far, which way or another. But,
So
I think there was some confusion a little bit at the last hearing on the setbacks. There's setbacks from homes, and there's three different setbacks in the zoning ordinance.
So there are three different setbacks. There's the current, which is just zone to zone, which is the typical agricultural one. Nobody has any issue with that. It doesn't impact anybody. There are then two that apply to people. There's a 250-foot setback from homes. That is one of them. And then there is a 90-foot setback from right-of-ways. Whichever one is more applicable will be the one that is used that is further back from your home. I know exactly where you are on the far side of the road, where it's the road and the house. The 250 would apply to you because it's further than the 90-foot just from the right-of-way line. So there are two different setbacks. I think that was a confusion from the last one. But in the situation that you're describing with your house, it would be a further setback to comply with that 250 as opposed to the 90. Does that make sense?
That's right at my house. But what about half mile up the road, half mile? That's the 90-foot setbacks?
Yeah. So, again, your home with the 250 would work kind of, you know, a circle, just general setback. And then the other places would be then, you know, required to be set back with the 90-foot. I could say, though, in this situation with yours, you know, we wouldn't build, just because it makes the fencing more expensive, just a little bubble that carves out. That setback that would apply would have further extension past that 250 year home. Does that make sense?
I get that part, yeah. But I know this is all about the tax dollars, because they're going to get more tax money off of solar farm than they do off agriculture farm. But maybe if they would, if the commissioners back then would have never taken this 10-acre maximum you got to have, or minimum you got to have to build a house, we might have more residents on this property out here in the county and be able to make the same amount of tax money. And for the record, I am opposed to this thing. So,
Marty, I think we're still getting.
I know.
Haven't heard any comments on the overlay district.
Yeah. So.
Close hearing on that.
Yeah. Is there anybody to speak neutral on the overlay district? You've already spoken, sir. You can speak when we get to the actual project. We're not at the actual project yet. All right. We'll go ahead and close the hearing on the overlay district at 7:29. The board to approve or not approve conditional use permit for Sternwell Solar Project, LLC, the property location referenced prior, 2,900 acres, solar overlay district. Dakota County Planning Commission has recommended that to be approved.
Second.
We'll take roll.
Oh, we need a motion.
Yeah. You did make a motion.
To approve the overlay district at the section previously provided for the 2,900 acres solar overlay district.
Second.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
The board has the authority to create regulations regarding the installation of solar panels on private property as long as those regulations are part of a comprehensive zoning or development plan. Under Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 66-913, counties with zoning jurisdiction are authorized to include provisions for encouraging solar energy use and protecting access to solar energy in their zoning regulations. They can regulate things like height, location, and setback of structures. The board can adopt resolutions that regulate land use to promote public health, safety, and welfare. The board may grant conditional use permits for specific use of property, including solar panel installation, if those uses are identified in the county zoning regulations. The board must adopt standards and procedures for granting these permits in a way that promotes the public interest and ensures equitable treatment. The board is trying to protect the public by adopting appropriate regulations for solar energy as best they can, while at the same time protecting surrounding property from interference with their own property rights. The board must balance encouraging the use of solar energy systems with protecting the public interest. Next, we'll move to a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, and make neutral comments regarding a request for approval of a conditional use permit from Sternwell Solar Project LLC at the property located at Section 10, 11, 14, 16, 21 through 23, 25, 26 through 28 Township, 28N, Range 80, on approximately 2,461 acres for the purpose, construction, and operation of Sternwell Solar Project, comprising a solar photovoltaic battery storage system, energy and storage, battery storage system. So would anybody like to speak in opposition to that? Go ahead and come up and state your name.
Sally Reinert, Rural Dakota City. Okay, as best we were able to find out, planning and zoning was implemented in the 1970s by the commissioners at that time. So I would imagine that if you, the present commissioners, wanted to do away with planning and zoning, there would be a process for doing that. But unless and until that happens, we have planning and zoning ordinances. And I don't think it would be unreasonable for your constituents to expect that you would abide by them. Ordinance 600.3 introduces the list of permitted conditional use in areas zoned AG, agricultural, and states two necessary conditions. And I quote, the following uses are permitted in the AG agricultural district after finding of the County Planning Commission that their mode of conduct and location will not hinder the enjoyment and use of nearby properties and will not disrupt the appropriate use of land and resources of the county. Now, I own a farm in northeast Iowa, beautiful land. If you were to drive there, you would drive through 200 miles of beautiful farmland. Good farmland in Dakota County is a limited resource. And it would be reasonable to question whether any of that should be taken out of production. Now, I would imagine that you don't all agree on what the best use of this land under consideration would be. And that's actually a good thing. You know, if all five of you agreed on everything all the time, we wouldn't need all of you. We could just get by with one. However, the first condition is another story. You don't get to tell other people what it is they're supposed to enjoy. Now, I know Mission Clean Energy has been trying very hard to make nice. Maybe by now you have resolved all the issues and there aren't any neighbors who have reservations. However, if there are still neighbors who feel this will interfere with the enjoyment of their property, the first condition is not being met, and they do not qualify for a conditional use permit. This really is not a question about solar farms. This is a question about our laws and whether or not you respect them. I don't think there's much else that needs to be said.
I think you just kind of answered your question right there. We cannot tell solar, if they own that ground, we can't tell them what they can and can't do with that for their enjoyment.
No.
We can regulate.
I'm sorry.
That's what we do here.
That's what planning and zoning ordinances do.
Right, regulate.
They protect the people in that area. They protect the neighbors. It says if it's interfering with the use or enjoyment of a neighbor, they don't get the permit.
That actually is the user enjoyment of their land.
No. It says the neighboring property. Please read the regulation.
Anybody else want to speak in opposition? State your name again, Lou, if you would.
Lou Franco, South Sioux City, Nebraska. You know, Rahulio, right now I'm going to address you because you made a comment about Walmart being a business and that. These solar panels are way different than Walmart, I'm telling you. And Walmart even has to follow regulations on the environment and how they dispose of their garbage and everything else. But you know, one of the things here is, like Sally said, for the people to enjoy their property, that in their livelihood, what they've worked hard for all of their lives. And with these solar panels, it shows here, it reads here, that there could be an impact on the area wildlife with toxic chemicals leaching from the solar panels. In the lithium of the batteries storage system, there's all kinds of things that can happen with the environment. And when the water in the air, it also talks about the heat, how these solar panels draw the light and makes it hotter, and it affects the environment with that. Now, when these people out here are dealing with that, they're surely not going to be able to enjoy it. They're not going to be able to feel comfortable when they're driving down the road and they see this stuff or even know that it's there, and there could be a situation to where there's a hazard of the lithium or the heat, even the extra heat, like it doesn't get hot enough around here for our livestock and the vegetation. And so we're going to add more heat to the environment. You know, it all goes back to the people. It's not about depriving somebody that wants to do something with their land. If that was the case, there wouldn't be a public hearing. There's a public hearing for a reason, and it's for the people to speak however they think they're going to be affected by this. And there's enough people here, even though a lot of them don't get up, because that isn't normally their, what they do is get up in front of a crowd and talk and express their opinion, because that isn't what they do for a livelihood. They're off somewhere doing this private little job in an office or where they don't have to be exposed to a group of people to talk. So they're not used to that. But you can tell by the people that are here and the people that have gotten up and spoken there in opposition of this for many reasons.
Thank you. Anybody else? go ahead and state your name and.
Don Kubik. This comes from Pierce County, which is only 70, 80 miles from here. At Meadow Grove, a big solar farm is being erected. The trucks are getting stuck. They're off of the easements. They're tearing up the fields. The sheriff can't do anything about it because most of the truck drivers are from way away. They'll never show up anyway. It's quite an article. Now, that's sand out there. In this area, there's a lot of gumbo. If anybody doesn't know what gumbo gets like in the spring when it's raining, they're not in for a surprise. They're in for a rude awakening because they're talking about 200 employees there. That's 100, 150 vehicles a day going to that job site. Our county taxpayers pay for maintaining them roads. That's without the trucks and stuff that it's going to take to get all that stuff there. I don't know if them old gumbo roads will handle that in the spring. I've seen them in awful bad shape over my 88 years of life, and I know what they can do. Gravel don't stop it. It may prevent it for a while, but it can get very, very, very costly.
Does that article say anything about the conditional road permit uses? Did that article say anything about the agreements for the road use that Pierce had?
I can't hear.
Did the article say anything about the road conditional use permits that they had there, or like the?
Because they'll have a conditional road use. So if they have any problems with the roads, the county has the ability to have them pay for any work that has to be done during construction.
Okay, but then in the meantime, what do the local people do for a road while they're waiting for the county to make a decision?
There wouldn't be any waiting time. If the road was impassable, we would act on that immediately.
Haven't seen gumbo in the spring.
Go ahead. You're welcome to answer.
The road use agreement is something that we put in place before we do any construction. One of the conditions of approval is the road use agreement and maintenance agreement. So both for construction and for ongoing maintenance. And the county gets to decide and sign off on the contents of that agreement. We also don't want to have trucks that are stuck in any kind of mud. We've driven out there many times. We agree that there's going to need to be some improvements to the road to make it work for construction. So that's one of the conditions of approval. We provided a draft of that. That gets done a little bit later, closer to construction, along with a vehicle plan. I also wanted to address traffic. When we're going to these solar sites, we don't have 150 individual cars because that would require a very large lot for parking. These large-scale construction projects, you bring folks in carpools or shared smaller vans to bring people to the job site. It's also not 200 people every day. It is over a sustained life of the project build. Electrical contractors, construction workers, folks that live in the community, and we bring them to the site very efficiently to minimize vehicle traffic.
And if this project is approved, it's also your guys' job. I mean, I try to, whenever I get a call with regards to roads, I always talk directly to our people at the county yard. It might not meet everybody's satisfaction, but they seem to be very responsive to me. So if it does go forward and there are issues, I mean, make sure that you let somebody know immediately because, ultimately it's going to be the decision of the board on whether or not the project continues if they're not meeting the standards that they give us. So right, go ahead, Keith. Yep. Go ahead, Kitty.
How's it going? My name's Ken Baker. I farm just south of this project. The only thing between me and this project is a barbed wire fence. I want to touch on Walmart just a little bit. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way because you can't compare the Walmart project to 2,000-acre project out here on this ground here. Different scale. But I have a small family farm, one of the few left in Dakota County, and it's going to be negatively affected by this project because of the elevations there. I'm below this project, so if this thing turns into a watershed, it's going to shed stormwater my way. Now, I've talked to some of the guys, and they said that they were going to help me out on this, but I really have a problem with the company because of the inexperience. And, they might be in over their heads on this deal, and I'm going to be helpless on the other side of this fence watching all this go down. And there isn't much you can do with flood water when it's coming your way. So I'm just voicing my opinion, and I'm against it. So
thank you. Anybody else want to speak in opposition?
Oh, sorry, I'm jumping.
Hey,
that's right. Yeah, my name is Paul Meyer. Hey, how you been, man? Good to see you, too. Say something about enjoyment.
Can I get your name? Sorry.
Paul Moniger.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Enjoyment of use. I heard someone say that. You tried putting up a building on your property, right? The county denied you. Does that violate your enjoyment of use? You tried the same, didn't you? And they denied you, right? Enjoyment of use. I'm against it.
Thank you. You bet. Take your time.
I won't start the timer.
Yeah, we won't count it. We won't count it against your time.
Many of you people know who I am. And I'm going to try and make this work in 3 minutes. I might need 4 or 5. I see maybe one or two people here that might know about the story, county attorney, maybe a commissioner, there's any P&Z members here, but I'm going to tell you a story. When I was planning and zoning administrator for the county about 20 years ago, give or take a year. Well, I was new at that. And they came to me and they said, can you be the commissioner of a county, or at least place the zoning? I said, well, I could be. I just taught school for about 25, 30 years. And they said, well, all you got to do is read the book. Okay, fine. I can do handle that. Sure, no problem. And so I went and I talked to the commissioner, and I said, I'm going to need your back on this because that's all there is to it. You got to have your back. And they assured me they've got it, or I've got it. Now, remember, I'm new at this. I trust everyone. Everyone. I had no reason not to. So along came this project. I do believe it came from South Sioux. I am not sure, but all of a sudden, we had this LFO thing, a livestock feeding operation, which required a conditional use permit. There were a lot of conditions that had to be met. That's all there was to it. You know, what are you going to do with the waste? You know, oh, wait a minute. The LFO, it's livestock. It was for cattle fattening, and also dairy, which is kind of an interesting slap. It was going to be located about 4 miles, 5 miles west of Dakota City on the north side of Highway 35. Okay, fine, we can handle that. So all along, the commissioners, they were nice and I was trying to figure out what was going on. And most generally, they had met most of the conditions, except one. And I kept asking the South Sioux people, I said, well, when is this going to be resolved? If you don't resolve this, it's leaving your tail end clear out in left field. And I was assured by, I think it was probably the economic director, somebody. I don't think it was planning and zoning. Whoever was an economic director at the time, won't mention any names. And this went on and on. And pretty soon it came time for the commissioners. Their turn. Are they going to approve this or not? And here I am wondering, now what am I going to do? I know they can't do this because they're in violation of one of the regulations. It was a setback issue. One family, I should say, about 4 or 5 acres. And they were within that perimeter of where the setback was at. and the outfit didn't want to give him any restitution, nothing. Well, this is going to be interesting. Well, the commissioners at that time just rubber stamped it, went on through. I think I got my summons about 2 or 3 weeks after that because they didn't follow the rules. You've got a rule to follow here, for it, folks. 600.3. I don't know what he's talking about. The rule is very simple. That's what got us in trouble 20 years ago. And, of course, NIRMA paid the bill. Of course, the county, I think, I don't know what the cost is to the county every year for the NIRMA insurance. It's insurance, so if we get our tail in the ringer, well, then they'll come to our aid. I think it was at that time it was $5,000 deductible. I don't know what it is now. And then we pick up the rest. They pick up the rest. But it's a perfect example. Follow the rules. A first-year law student's going to come in here, and they're going to sue these people and us and you. Because all you got to do is look at the regulations. It's very simple. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anybody else? Go ahead and state your name.
Ron Rayner, 1846 G Avenue. Can anybody on this committee guarantee my taxes are not going to go up? The evaluation of my home is not going to go down? And I don't think they can guarantee about the dust and stuff on a road. They're doing work south here between Dakota City and Homer now, and the road, the dust is so bad on my road, you cannot be outside during the day. And what's been done about it? Nothing. And they're not going to be able to control that dust. You can't even get anything done with just a little bit of traffic we got going down here. So can anybody guarantee my taxes aren't going to go up? Or my valuation of my home isn't going to go down?
Guarantees are tough.
Is it? It's pretty simple. You know they're going to raise on us. If they put that out there, I mean, I don't care if a guy moves in next to me, builds a $1 million home, he can afford it and everything. Good for him. But don't be raising my taxes because of that.
That's what the tax overlay district is for. So it doesn't affect
us. But it does affect us. Taxes go up and up and up every year. The money is spent frivolously. We need to make changes on that stuff. And how long is it going to take to get these so-called trees and everything growed up where we don't have to look at that thing? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? I'll probably be dead before they're grown up high enough.
My understanding is there's a berm. Is there a berm around the project or a part of what?
There can be some places. So this is actually a perfect example of vegetative management condition that's included in that. That condition is binding and is reviewed between us and the county. So there would be say in what exactly that vegetative management looks like. So that's something that as we work with our EPC contractor, the experts that do these projects all across the country actually getting their hands in the dirt, doing the stormwater designs, doing the vegetative management, understanding the seeding and growth. That's when we would start fleshing that out more. And we've left in flexibility for this because we know that the landowners around here that there might be different conditions based on the road, this house, to be able to work collaboratively and not us just shove you a plan and say, this is what we're going to do. So definitely something that is considered, could be evaluated, definitely could be included in that plan as well. But it's included in those conditions, so it would be binding upon your guys' signature.
So you're going to put a berm around it, so you're going to create a ski jump all the way down that road. Because that snow will hit that berm and go, and don't laugh about it, because anything, just look at the wind, how it goes over a berm. It goes up and over.
We definitely would not put a berm around the entirety of it. That would be.
Well, if you put it any place, it's going to create a problem.
So, maybe to address the vegetative management plan considers vegetation to provide visual screening. There's also fencing. And then there's the opportunity for the county to request that we do a berm if that was something that someone would like that lives in the area. The fencing, we're doing slatted fencing. In parts next to homes, we've had conversations with homeowners about different opportunities for vegetation. We plan to make this collaborative, working with
the community on what they would like to see for the homes that are closer to the solar array.
Fencing is going to create more problems when it snows. You can tell a barbed wire fence creates a problem the way it is, and you're going to put slatted fencing in 6-8 foot high?
We're not putting slatted fencing around the whole array. We're talking about the sections that are nearest to people's homes, and that's what we will do in the...
My home's going to be near it. It's going to create snow problems, and it's not going to stop it. It's going to make it worse. So you're going to be out there shoveling?
Will the fence be next to the road, or will it be next to the setback?
It's on the other side of the setback. So at a minimum, the distance is...
So from roads, it's 90 foot. From
90 feet. So the closest the fence will be is 90 feet. And then for homes, it's even further setback.
Then you're going to have a 90 foot drift.
Is it 90 feet from the center of the road, or is it 90 foot from the county setback?
I believe the ordinance is written from the center line. Okay. Joe, do you know?
The right of way.
Right of way.
Okay. So we've got 66-foot right of way.
From the county's right of way, which is 33 foot from center.
123 feet from center of the road.
And then you have 33 feet from the other side for the homeowner.
33 feet from center of the road, yeah. Well, so you come back when you get a snowstorm and put this thing up and just see how many feet it has drifted. So that 90 foot is not going to stop.
One of the other conditions of approval is a road use agreement, both during construction and operation. So that's another opportunity for the county to say, hey, you're going to have to manage that particular element should it occur. So that can be written into that road use agreement to account for that scenario.
They can't manage the dust on the road for a project going down the road here now. How are they going to manage this big project?
Sir, I can't speak to that particular project. We have to comply with, there's a dust prevention plan that we put in place for projects. The roads in particular are going to go under a lot of scrutiny for our purposes and also for the residents. We have to keep dust levels low. And sometimes we'll pave them. Sometimes we do other methods to really compact it. So overall, it will be an improvement to the roads in the vicinity. And we have to do it at a standard that minimizes dust and also complies with what the county would like us to do.
Like this elder gentleman just said, these roads won't handle it. Just from the trucks coming out of the sod field up here, they're tearing up the whole side. They got to redo it. It ain't going to work.
We have to improve them in order to bring our equipment to the site.
State your name. Troy Lonsby, Homer, Nebraska. So I take it the biggest selling point on this for you commissioners is income from taxes, correct?
I don't know that there is a selling point for me. It's just information to end up.
Well, there has to be something you like about it. I would assume it would be the income from taxes. But you guys have done your research. So can you tell everybody here how much money are you talking a year for taxes that the county is going to get? I'm a business guy. I'd like to know some real numbers.
So
personal property tax and tax. What is the county going to get per year?
Yeah, I'll just defer.
Does he have any black and white stuff that I can look at or some other county maybe somewhere that you actually have some real numbers that would be close to us?
We do.
Can I see them?
I can tell them to you.
I like to see stuff. I believe all of what I see and half of what I hear.
Yeah, these are my notes, so I'm happy to read it to you if you'd like.
So, and where did you get your information at, sir?
I got my information from a variety of sources, including state law, 15-plus years of experience in these projects.
I've been around enough deals where it seems like in these big companies, they can change things up, and you might not get exactly what you want. So I want numbers.
Okay.
So how much money are you talking?
So talking approximately $1.5 million a year of property tax revenue, just distributed to the taxing entities just like any other property tax. So when you say the county, do you specifically mean Dakota County government, or do you mean the taxing entities?
The Dakota County is going to take it in, and they're going to distribute it to the schools and everything else. So the
right.
county.
So, yeah. So that $1.5 million, let's call it, will be approximately 60%, two-thirds to the schools, approximately 20-25% to the county, and the rest to the NRD and the other taxing entities, just like property taxes are distributed. You're talking another approximately $30 million in sales tax revenue. You're talking another person. Well, I included that in the $1.5 million, about $9 million in personal property tax revenue from the battery as well.
And is that guaranteed? Those numbers?
those numbers are part of it is set in statute.
Would you give everybody in Dakota County a guarantee that that's the tax dollars?
No, I can't give you any guarantee.
And why not?
Can I answer your question, please?
Sure.
Would you let me do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So part of that number is an excise tax that is set in statute, $3,518 per megawatt per year. The legislature could change that at any time. It's been that number since 2010. The legislature held an interim study hearing on that very topic 10 days ago. They talked about raising it. They talked about what it would be if you calculated it again today using the same formula that it was calculated under in 2010. Some of that is based on the assessor valuing property for tax purposes. We don't know exactly what that'll be. The tax levy rate changes every year, right? So nobody can predict that what that is. So when I say approximately, that's why I'm saying approximately, because I don't want to tell you something that I can't guarantee or promise to you. Those are the numbers that we've calculated based on state law, based on a lot of experience of doing this at this time. The legislature meets every year and laws change every year. So those taxes could go up. It's unlikely, as we all know, that taxes will go down. So that's the information we have, and that's the best information I can give you.
Do you guys have any in the state of Nebraska that we could look at so we'd have some idea from that county, possibly, sir?
You could.
Could you get some numbers? Could you get some numbers for everybody? I think everybody would like to see some.
So you could call the Department of Revenue. They collect the nameplate capacity tax, and they distribute it.
But you guys want to put this here, so I think that'd be a good deal for you guys to get right on the ball.
I sat in this room here a few years ago, and we talked about guarantees. And at that point, the federal government wanted to build Dakota County a jail, and they wanted to pay for it. Had we done that project would have been paid for 2 years right now, because the federal government is begging for bed space. But we didn't do that. But because the commissioners didn't act on that then, we are going to be able, 22 years down the road, the county's going to pay $20 million for the new yard.
And so anyway, I was commissioner then, and let's talk about Woodbury County, $25 million over budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The government was paying for that, Marty?
Taxpayers.
Yep.
In Iowa, not here.
All different state.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, Scott Davidson, Dakota City. I'll try and keep it brief because I know there's been lots of talk. So I've said this before, and I'll just reiterate some things. I realize that you guys have tough decisions to make. I also understand where they're coming from. They're salesmen, and they're trying to sell something, and I get all those types of things. A couple of issues that I have, I'm opposed to this. Number one, I don't think right now you have a contract in place for somebody buying the electricity you're supposedly going to be able to create. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
I've looked up on NPPD's website. I've talked or done the research with that. And at this point, NPPD is aggressively looking at trying to build a nuclear plant or looking at possibilities of putting up nuclear plants. So NPPD has not said, yes, we're going to buy this electricity, nor have they set up a contract with them to do all these things. So all of this is kind of speculation in terms of what that could be. And NPPD could go nuclear and build a nuclear power plant where this becomes, hate to say it, but a little bit of a mute issue, because they would produce the energy that we're all looking for, that we keep saying that we need the energy for around here for that. One of the issues that I know was brought up was the dust. Those of you that live out in the country, and I live out there, for the enjoyment of it. We've been out there for 30-some years. Love it where we're at during harvest time when the semis go by, and the corn and the amount of dust that's created from those things is insane. And we know that that's going to happen, so we're ready for that. When they take the beans out, you guys know the amount of dust that's produced by that just coming out of the fields and all the things that that creates. Beetles. What's that?
And those beetles.
Oh, yeah. No, those are nasty. So my issue is, okay, so you're going to be building this thing for about 2 years or roughly thereabouts, and the amount of dust that potentially is going to create, and paving a road with semis driving on it, the amount of time it would take to pave the road to be able to get the semis, then it's just extending the project. I just don't think all that's going to be feasible to take place. Solar panels definitely have a shelf life. They've already told us that they have a shelf life in terms of how long they're going to last. On the other hand, biodiverse ecosystems, cropland, doesn't. And we can keep using it if we take good care of it. If it's treated correctly, that continues to keep going and rebuilding itself and staying healthy and can continue to produce the crops, to produce the corn that's needed for whether it's feeding cattle, whether it's going towards an ethanol plant, whatever the case might be that we use all these different things for as we keep rotating those crops. So it seems like that purpose is better. The biggest thing that I see from this is they don't have a fully operational plant. And I'm not putting that on them. I'm saying they don't have a fully operational plant. Why can't this thing, you keep saying if this is passed, why can't this be tabled until we know some things for sure? We see an actual operational plant. We see what it's producing. We see the goods and the bads that have happened in the development of it as it's operating, any pitfalls that have come through with it. So we really know what we're going to get ourselves into as a county and be able to deal with it that way. We can see what NPPD for sure has planned. We give them time to do that. I understand what you're saying about, hey, you know, we missed out maybe on potentially for having that the jailhouse built by now 2 years into it. At the same time, you can make a decision to do something, and then we can kick ourselves going, man, I wish we would have just waited another year. We would have waited a little bit longer. And I would even say, wait till after the winter. Come back up and see what a winter looks like out here in the country. See what this actually looks like. Then decide if this is really something feasible to do. I just hate to see us all of a sudden jump into this because we think this is the way to go, and we haven't given ourselves a full glimpse of what's happening. And as you stated, this is an if. There's nothing wrong with waiting a few more months to find out if this thing is really going to be effective for us and good for our community, which is what, I know, tough job, but that's the job that you're slated to do. So, thank you.
Anybody else to speak in opposition?
Hi, my name is Dodie McManigal, and I live at 2054 F Avenue. All of my concerns have been mentioned already, so I won't go into detail, but I do not want to get up every morning and look out my front window at a field of glass. I am very opposed to this. Thank you.
Marcy Brohill, 1401, Willow, Dakota City. I guess my questions, I have just a couple things. Wind and solar, when wind was an issue here, I really appreciate the board taking issues and listening to that, so thank you very much. Wind and solar are really third world power sources. So I know people do not like to hear the word nuclear, but there is a difference between fusion nuclear and fission nuclear. We send our sailors on submarines that use fusion nuclear, and we assume that they will be safe. So you need to, I know nuclear is a volatile word, but you need to check into that. Fusion versus nuclear, exactly what Mr. Davidson's saying. The power companies are looking at that. And then I do have a question. Who is the parent company, or who are the investors? You're from California, is that correct? So who are your investors? Are they California people or international people? Who are, can you share that?
So on our website, you can see the list of our investors. We have investors that are some of the founders of the company that are, one is based in San Francisco, the other in Washington, D.C. And we also have other investors in the United States. And we have an investor called WAFRA, which invests in private and pension funds in the United States. And they use these projects for those pension funds.
Are there international investors?
WAFRA is an international investor. Yes, they're an investor in the company. They are a private equity company. They invest in lots of different types of companies all over the United States, certainly not just renewables. They have a long list of types of things that they invest in here in this country. They're from Kuwait.
Long-standing U.S. ally that we fought a war to defend.
Okay. Well, I think Mr. Davidson had a good comment about waiting and maybe checking out some of the things that have gone on with the company. And we hope your company is a good investment, but I'm not sure it's right for us.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak against? What's that? If you want to come up and talk again, you can just talk again. I'll let you, but let's keep it at two.
Why are you letting a foreign country come in and disrupt everybody's lives here? A country from Kuwait? Come on. Why are you doing that to us? For what reason? How many people did we lose taking care of Kuwait, liberating them?
We are a U.S. company, just to be super clear. We are a U.S.-based, formed, managed corporate company. We have one investor that has different investments in the United States and globally that is invested in Mission Clean Energy. But we are not owned or operated by a foreign entity, which also violates various laws. We are not owned and operated by a foreign entity.
What right do they have bringing any of their money from overseas, coming in here, and disrupting this community? Let them take the thing out to the desert. Let them put it in Kuwait.
Almost every big investment here in the United States contains investments from multiple sources, many of them global. Artificial intelligence, AI, that movement, which is supported, you know, across the country, contains investments from all corners of the globe.
It's just common sense. It's wrong for somebody other bringing money into this country to disrupt the people's lives in this area.
That is not what we're doing.
Go ahead, Dennis.
I might come up there. I did forget to ask the mission people how much tax money is going toward this project as far as this green money that came out of Washington with Biden. How much of that is going to affect money?
Sure. I'm happy to address the investment tax credit. I'll just move here because it's a little awkward on the positioning. So the ITC has been in place for over a decade. It has been in place through multiple administrations. It's not new. There's been a continued push to renew the investment tax credit, which has happened under multiple administrations throughout the history. Very recently, there's been a goal to end the investment tax credit. Solar is now competitive with other sources of energy, so that tax credit is no longer needed. Whether this project will use that tax credit or not really depends when it becomes operational and whether that's available to the project at that time. So I can't tell you yes or no, but I can say that solar is now competitive with almost all other forms of energy without that tax credit. And it's one of the lowest cost sources of energy that you can install.
So you're not going to have any of this green money showing up then? Is that what I hear you saying?
No, I'm saying that I don't know whether we'll have it or not.
Another I don't know. Okay.
It's based on the operational year, given the recent termination of those funds, which me personally in the industry, I support. I think it's actually good because solar is now on level playing field with other types of generation. It's one of the fastest to deploy. It's one of the cheapest. And so many utilities need to fill some of the gaps in their energy mix with other sources of energy.
I thank you for that.
Yeah.
I hope the commissioners do take advantage of maybe delaying this. I've got to call in to Senator Fisher's office to get an idea exactly where this tax money might be coming from. She hasn't responded yet, but I do expect her to call.
Their office will be here on Thursday.
I cannot hear you.
Thursday, they'll be here.
Fisher's office will be here on Thursday.
May I add one more point on the tax? Thank you. Commissioner David Levy, Baird Home Law Firm, 1700 Farnham Street in Omaha, on behalf of the applicant. On the investment tax credit, production tax credit, whatever it might be, our utilities in Nebraska are political subdivisions. They're public entities. They're nonprofits. They don't have shareholders. They sell the energy from this project, let's say, to NPPD. NPPD knows exactly what tax credits they're getting. That allows NPPD to buy that energy from them more cheaply than they could without the tax credits. NPPD buys cheap energy. The benefit of that cheap energy comes to every one of us when we turn on our light switch, when we, you know, open up the courthouse, when you turn on your heat, when they start up the industrial plant, whatever it might be. So particularly in Nebraska, that tax credit money, those federal tax benefits, go to Mission Clean Energy only in the way that they help them have an even more affordable project to solve our utilities. But the actual dollars from those federal tax benefits in Nebraska come to us as ratepayers. So it really is a benefit to us as ratepayers. The shareholders of NPPD and OPPD are their ratepayers. And ultimately, they are the ones who benefit from that even cheaper energy that those tax credits allow. So it's important to follow the money, as they say, follow the flow of those dollars. The dollars don't go to the applicant, the developer. Those dollars go to us as ratepayers in the state of Nebraska.
Anybody else speak in opposition?
Hi, I'm Renata Rosenfredo, 622 100th Street. And I just want to say I oppose this because I live out there and I just don't want to look at that. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
I'm Janet Moninger, 1314 Walnut Street, Dakota City, Nebraska. I wrote my letter opposing. I'm sure you all got it. And I want it on record that I do oppose this.
I did receive numerous letters, have read every letter that I received, and everybody that sits on the Board of Commissioners has read all of them.
I'm Jessica Reese. I'm also at 620 200 Street, and I oppose, and I hope you guys do too.
Hi, everyone. Name's Brady Singer. I am opposed to this. Ron, do you think you'll be able to sell your house at what it's worth after these panels go up?
No.
No? Yeah. I want to thank Dennis and Sally for bringing up 600.3. It will affect every enjoyment here. Sorry you guys can't build your buildings. That sucks. Another thing, I don't want this land to be wasted. We got first, second generation farmers. I'd hate for it to go to waste. Strongly opposed.
My name is Judy Yandell, and I own an acreage. It's going to be right across from the panels, and I definitely oppose this. Totally.
My name is Mary McCullough, and I oppose this.
Where do you live, Mary?
758 185th Street.
Okay.
My name is Austin Lambert. I live 1943 South Bluff Road. I oppose this due to 40% of you will be solar panels in this case.
So. Yep. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I am Aline Lambert, and I live at 1943 South Bluff Road, and I also oppose this due to, as the reasons that my husband stated, I don't want to look out my front window and notice the beautiful view I have now is destroyed by glass. Thanks.
Going up there individually, everybody that opposes this, stand up and tell them.
Good plan.
Everybody.
We oppose it.
Would anybody else like to step up and make comment? Because you're sure welcome to.
My name is Lynn Stolt, 604 North 6th Street, Dakota City. I came in here neutral until I heard about the ordinance. Sorry, guys. Someone's going to sue your butt. And I appreciate all the hard work that you've done for it, but it would impact those neighbors around them. Change the ordinance if you want to do it. That's where I stand. And I was neutral when I walked in. Thank you for all your work on everything.
Anybody else? Anybody with any neutral comments? Before we go any further, I'd just like to say it's nice to have this many people at a commissioner's meeting, and a lot of people that have stepped up and talked have probably never done that at a commissioner meeting or a setting like this. And I think it's great when people get involved, because so often decisions are made with very little input. So I really appreciate you all being here. My what? Oh, you know, we've changed it three times and had no difference at all on the number of people that have attended. What time, you know, the main reason it doesn't happen this time of night is because so many of the employees that are required to attend the meetings, get out of here at 4 or 4:30, depending on, what department they're in. So we've tried midday, we've tried mornings, we've tried, in the afternoon, and haven't seemed to make any difference.
I just want to say one thing. I was on the planning and zoning when it started. I helped write the law. And Arnie Millick was there. He was number one. And we went by fifth thing would come up, and they give us everything we're supposed to do. But I helped write the law for this and law for everything.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to D. Oh, yeah, supporters for the project. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, this will be fun. Oscar Gomez, 1615 First Avenue, South Sioux City. So as my duty as economic development director for the city of South Sioux, we have agreements with the city of Dakota City as well as Dakota County. One of my main duties is to make sure that we have land available for industries, commercial people, housing developments, anything like that to come into our county. That helps us as far as improving the tax base. Mr. Levy mentioned that, it's not guaranteed that the taxes are going to go down, but we want to keep it the way that they are currently. So that's kind of my job that I do. So I'm going to be a little biased about why I'm in favor. So the reasons that I'm in favor, number one is the potential tax revenue that they're bringing in. One of the things that we had an issue with in South Sioux was the school bond. We were asking for $127 million for the residents of South Sioux or school district to pay for two schools that we need. We have the newest school that we have is 35 years old, so we need to do something. The oldest is about 102, and that's Covington. So it's something that we need. So with the numbers, Troy, I know you said you're a numbers guy. I emailed the company and I said, can you show me some numbers that they're bringing in? So one of the things that they're doing is, for example, for public schools that I'm talking about, the school problems, they're talking about bringing in about $38 million. Now, if $38 million comes in 20 years or whatever the time frame is, what the school district can do is go out and bond that $38 million, meaning that no resident of Dakota County will have their taxes increased for building a school in Homer. That's the advantage I have in projects like this. Now, the other thing that, Marty, you talked about is the Inland Port Authority. We have about 1,600 acres of potential growth in our county. That could be industrial, commercial, and we're having a casino, which is an entertainment center. The problem that we have in that area is that we have a casino that's coming in, but we have industrial zoning around the casino. We don't want that. So what we're doing is between Dakota County, Dakota City, and South Sioux is to do a master plan. Make sure that we get it right. The zoning is correct. Make sure that we protect the residents, the commercial people, the industrial people, that we don't have just a cluster of companies all over, that they're done in the right place. Now, unfortunately, the commissioners will have a tough job to decide whether to have this project or not. But one of the things is the conditional use permit. In South Sioux, we do those a lot. One of the things that we put those guidelines. This is what you got to follow. If you don't follow it, the project stops. The city of South Sioux, the council can go back to them and say, you're not following the guidelines. We can stop you at any moment. That's what the conditional use permit does. So as an economic development guy that needs to bring taxes, keep the taxes the same, I'm in favor of it for those reasons. So thank you, guys.
Other people to speak in favor?
All right. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Dustin Marvel on behalf of Omaha Public Power. First off, let me thank you guys. I've sat through tons of these across the state. I understand how difficult what you are doing is. There's a ton of research that goes into these sorts of things, as you have now figured out. There's a stack of paperwork. There's a whole lot of ups and downs and different allegations and things like that. Omaha Public Power currently operates the largest solar facility here in Nebraska at 81 megawatts in Saunders County. And I tell you, we went through something very similar. It's difficult. It's hard. But I can tell you that that facility is up and running and things are very good. Right? We appreciate that energy coming to OPPD. Though we are not currently an off-taker of this project, the state of Nebraska does need electrons. And we need electrons today. Right? We don't have the luxury of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years for some emerging technology. We need it now. That's where solar and wind projects start to step in and fill the needs of today. The projects that we just heard about wanting to come to Nebraska need electrons today, not in the future because of some technology that hasn't quite gotten to commercial viability. Okay? OPPD is aggressively seeking projects of all sorts, as every community across Nebraska is doing right now. Counties are really in a position to help Nebraska succeed. I encourage you tonight to approve the conditional use permit because it really will benefit. And trust me, 5 years, 10 years down the road, like we're seeing right now in Saunders County, it is benefiting schools. It is benefiting the people that are actually partaking in the project. Some of the loudest opposition now mow the grass and make a ton of money doing it. Okay? So these sorts of things do benefit your community. Thank you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the concerns that everybody has brought to me was that they're going to sell this energy somewhere, you know, down south in Arizona or somewhere else. Could you kind of address that a little bit?
Yep. Nebraska is a public power state, right? So therefore, generators in Nebraska, under traditional sense, coal, right, natural gas, have to be a public power. We have the luxury here in the state of having wind and solar projects being able to be produced by a third party, basically, is how I'll say that, right? Though they benefit best by selling it to a public power. They sell it in-state, typically. I can't tell you exactly because I don't know this developer specifically and what they're marketing, right? But I can tell you from what our encounters are personally from OPPD, we see them keep it in state under 99% of the situations simply because of its economics, right? Now, if you want to break it down to electrons, electrons stay local. They don't move across the country, right? So a project in your backyard benefits your local system. It benefits the reliability and the resiliency of your local infrastructure, right? If your generation source is 60 miles away or 100 miles away, and transmission lines are how you get your lights to turn on, and storms roll through that 60 or 100 miles, your power goes out. Whereas if you have a generator in your backyard, it generates the electrons needed locally, and therefore you have a more reliable system. Does that make sense? I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly where they're selling it to because I'm just not privy to that.
Are you aware of any litigation between Saunders County and the people that live around?
No, sir.
Okay.
No litigation.
Right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Can I ask you how big our backyard is full of water? I'm here to ask. You're not from here anyway.
Yeah. His,
you have a thing to say here. You're not from this county.
Well, how about a little respect? Let's be respectful of everybody here. All right. Okay, anybody else? Anybody want to speak in favor?
Yeah.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. Yeah.
So, commissioners, again, good evening. David Levy, Baird Home Law Firm, 1700 Farnham Street. Try and look at all you. It's an awkward spot over here. Just a couple of quick points, and thank you for the time. Section 600.3 has been brought up a number of times about enjoyment to neighboring properties. Land use regulation is a balance. That provision in that zoning regulation or any zoning regulation, it's a very common provision. It doesn't give a neighbor a veto power. It doesn't mean there has to be unanimous support in the neighborhood for the project. What it means is that the project won't unreasonably interfere with the enjoyment of the property in the community at large. There's also different ways to measure enjoyment of property. One is liking the view that you see out your windows. One is liking that you have good schools that are adequately funded. One is liking that you have good roads that the county has money to maintain. One's liking that you have a nice courthouse that the county is affordable to maintain or is able to afford to maintain. So when you think about that, it really is a balance, and it's a much broader question as a legal matter than just does one person who lives across the road not like it. That does not mean as a legal matter that the project doesn't meet that requirement of the zoning regulations. And let me just one other point on this. From 600.7, you can't also just take one piece of the regulations, right, in isolation. 600.7 says, furthermore, the Solar Energy Overlay District implements the following goals and policies of the Dakota County Master Plan. Solar energy facilities involve development costs for exclusive responsibility of private ownership, which advances the objective of having developers in rural areas pay their own way. That's an example of enjoyment of property. Balances the needs of the general public for lower cost and clean energy with the goal of preserving prime agricultural land. Again, addresses enjoyment of property generally. Helps create business opportunities without noise, air, or ground pollution, and without impacting long-term traffic flow in Dakota County. Again, enjoyment of property. Promotes effective wildlife and natural vegetation management while minimizing the impact on wetlands and minimizes erosion. Preserves the underlying zoning classification of the property, which is subject to the overlay district. Balances the needs of the public with the rights of the private ownership of land. Those are all things that address why this project at large and for the larger community does result or does not result in undue interference with the enjoyment of private property. So really, I just wanted to address that one point. The only other thing I would say is that Mission Clean Energy respectfully requests that you approve the conditional use permit. You have in front of you a resolution to that effect, findings of fact to that effect, which are legally required as part of approving a conditional use permit, and conditions of approval, many of which we've talked about tonight, require a road use agreement, that require a decommissioning plan, that deal with a vegetation management plan, lots of those other things. And so if you're so inclined to support the project and you wanted to simply move approval of that resolution, those findings of fact, and those conditions of approval, that would be, with all respect, a very clean and good and legally sound way to do that. You, of course, have discretion to do as you like. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but offering that as an option to you that might make your life a little bit easier if you're so inclined to support the project tonight. And again, we respectfully request your approval and thank you for your time. And as Audrey said, we're happy to answer any questions.
Are you third-party counsel for them, or are you part of the group?
I work for a private law firm, and they're a client of the firm.
All right. Anybody have questions for the people that are looking at doing this project?
What guarantees we have all this is going to be done properly? What guarantee we have the roads, the fencing, the solar's not going to bother our place?
Yeah.
It's not going to burn my place down right across the road. It's not going to heat up the atmosphere.
So I'll touch on the things that are in the conditional use permit. There's a road use and maintenance agreement. There's a decommissioning plan. We will post a decommissioning security for the project that the county, if we do not meet a variety of conditions of operation, can tell us that we have to remove our project. And that decommissioning bond is held for the life of the project, and it covers the cost of removal of the system. This particular ordinance is written with a very high bar and standard. I think that there's a lot in there that we don't see in other locations. That means if we don't comply with a variety of things, that's what's going to happen. We also have a vegetative management plan that's put together with the county's approval and sign-off. We've made offers to the county staff as well as folks here in this room tonight that we'd like to work with folks collaboratively on what that vegetation looks like for that screening. So those are the three main things: road use and maintenance agreement, decommissioning plan, vegetative management, and that really is those pieces that create that assurance and that bond that we're posting for the facility. There's a lot of other pieces here. I'm happy to address other questions. I also know we've been here a while. If the commissioners respectfully have further questions or the audience, I'm happy to address. Up to you all. Just wanted to cover those assurance pieces.
How are you going to guarantee it's not going to heat up the areas around our homes? You can't.
So the solar panels are meant, their fundamental goal is to absorb energy and take that energy and create electrons. They are not heat sources in and of themselves. They absorb energy. The panel coating is non-reflective. That's something that's just the case across this industry at this point. There is not a great amount of heat created. It's heat absorbed, and that makes electricity in the system. That's really the short answer on that particular one.
So the pipe that these are sitting on, or the platform, is it steel?
So the panels sit on a racking system that tracks the sun. The ground beneath the panels is left as it is. We do as little disturbance of the earth as possible. We do that actually for stormwater reasons. We do have to comply with very, state regulations around stormwater pollution and prevention, and we put together a robust plan. There's nothing underneath these panels. There's steel posts that go into the ground, and then the panels track the sun.
All right, steel posts, so they're going to collect heat.
The panels are covering the steel posts. I'm happy to send you information on that.
There's going to be heat coming off the steel posts.
The steel posts are covered underneath the panels. So
this whole area is going to be like the sun. There's going to be heat there.
Yeah, thank you.
It's going to be absorbing the energy.
It's like a sponge.
You guys heard enough?
Yes.
Heard enough? Are you good? Yep. D. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing at 8:39. Board to approve or not approve conditional use permit for Sternwell Solar Project LLC of property located at section 10-11, 14 through 16, 21 through 23, 25, 26 through 28, township 28N, range 80, on approximately 2,461 acres for the purpose of construction and operation of the Sternwell Solar Project, comprising of solar photo, give me the pronunciation on that.
Photovoltaic.
Yeah, that. Photovoltaic and battery energy storage system, the Dakota County Planning and Zoning System, who spent much time researching this, sent it to us with an 8-1 vote for approval from our planning and zoning. So I guess we'd be looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I will second.
Is that with the findings and conditions?
With what's that, with the finding and conditions in our paperwork? Yes.
Okay, roll call. Rick?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
All right, old business and miscellaneous. Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent, road report, and that is going to be forwarded to our next meeting. Commissioner committee reports, do you have anything in the last 2 weeks?
Just, I think just wait until everyone's done moving around.
So okay.
Well, that sounds like a very interesting
agenda item. Thank you for answering any, the you know, all the questions that you have.
That's the best. What we're there for.
Best of luck, and we're going to be watching you like a hawk.
Thank you.
Travel safe. Mail or emergency business?
Commissioner committee reports? I have nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing I have is that we said take a meeting on Friday.
Anybody got mail or emergency business?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Good job. Way to start. Get ready to get that going.
Yeah.
I approve you to do that.
Appreciate you. Okay. The reminder, we have a joint public hearing on Tuesday night, September 23rd at 6:05 at South Sioux Memorial Hall. That's better known as the Pink Card meeting. That will be then.
So are we all?
Well, you're sure all welcome to come.
Is that something we all go to?
You should, if at all possible, you should. Yeah.
And it's not, a quorum.
It's not a quorum of more than three of us are there. Because it's
A meeting.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Brian, did you have anything?
I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
All right. There you have it.